Hi, I'm Mel Pearson from the Michigan Tech hockey team, and you're listening to the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93.
Go Huskies.
It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on Huskies Radio, Mix 93 WKMJ.
Across the line, Trent's watching him carefully. Here's a chance for Hayden, and shoots fire!
The Mel Pearson Show is brought to you by the Turvo Agency in Hancock, the Library Restaurant in Houghton, and Habanero's Fresh Mexican Kitchen in Hancock.
Lake Accounting, M26 Houghton.
The Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images on the campus of Michigan Tech. Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. Superior Smiles in Hancock. Coca-Cola of Hancock. Kelly Jepson, your State Farm Insurance Agent of Houghton. And by Peterlin Distributing in Calumet. And now, with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Mel Pearson, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Hey, that's me, and I am honored. Coach Pearson is in our studio right now as we get set for the Mel Pearson Show. Lots to talk about today. The Huskies split over the weekend against Bowling Green. A couple of good games, and Huskies now move on to take on their first non-conference opponents this season, and that would be the Michigan State Spartans in a Saturday-Sunday series down in East Lansing. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and obviously to talk hockey.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Your thoughts overall on the weekend? Let's just take the whole weekend as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we knew it was going to be a good weekend of hockey. Bowling Green's got a very good team. You look up and down their lineup, a lot of real good hockey players. Their goaltender had been one of the best in the country coming into the weekend, Chris Nell, who played on Friday, and he didn't disappoint. I thought he was extremely good, even though we found a way to win 2-0. And then, obviously, Saturday was another tight game. We knew they were going to push back, and they pushed back hard. I thought it was a tighter game than the first night, and obviously went right down to the wire, so in a one-goal game. But we expected two hard-fought games against a very good team that, like us, we made the NCAA tournament last year. They missed out on the tournament by the slimmest of margins. So, and they're right there again this year, and they've beaten some good quality opponents already. But overall, I was, pleased with a lot of things about the weekend. I just did not like how it ended, and that obviously sticks in your mind for a little bit and whatnot. But we'll discuss that. But overall, the crowds were great. Really appreciative of the fans that came out this weekend. And we had a recruit in on Saturday, and he just couldn't believe the whole atmosphere, between the crowd and the band and whatnot and everything going on. So, and the students, and he really enjoyed his time here. So I just really thank the fans for coming out this weekend. I know lots going on with deer hunting and everything else, but the fans have been fantastic, and it really does help our team.
It's always a concern this time of year when we are home with the deer hunters. I mean, and we were explaining it on the air for people who are listening maybe out of town and wondering, why is that such a big deal? Remember, we are dealing with such a small population up here that when you're trying to get 3,000 to 4,000 people from that population to come into a building at the same time, it's never easy to do. The fact that we're doing it on a very regular basis now is awesome. But when you have something like deer hunting, I know we were all concerned about that. And again, I think the fans too. I mean, over 3,000 people both nights.
Oh, fantastic. And, it was a lot of neat things happened during the game, obviously. The color guard before each game. The moment of silence for obviously France and Paris and what's gone over there, and just a couple of the wounded warriors. We entertained them to the game and Pearson spells and a lot of neat things are really going on. Surrounding the hockey games, the hockey game is part of it, but yeah, more importantly, there's a lot of other things going on. So, we really appreciate that. And when I first got the job up here, everybody was saying, "Well, you can't schedule games, around the deer hunting,
right.
The opening, and the weekend that follows." So. And we try and avoid that if we can, but sometimes you can't. But like I said, thanks for the fans. I thought they were two real entertaining games for the people who came out.
All right, let's get to Friday night's game. The Huskies win 2-0. Cliff Watson, just 22 seconds into the game, gets the Huskies on the board.
Straight to play. Dirk Hembroff and Brent Peterson on Mix 93. Early opportunity for Alec Patan. Crossed the line, shot in, big rebound, kicks out to the hash marks, scooped up and held in, and a tripping call coming up against the Falcons. Score! From the point, Cliff Watson makes it a 1-0 lead.
I mean, you just hear the crowd just absolutely roaring in that first goal 22 seconds in.
Well, they were fired up. I mean, they're in the building. No, they were fired up. They were in the building early again, and you know, you could just feel the emotion there. So I thought it was just fantastic. And then to get off to a good start, we had a this might have been our best start of the weekend. I thought we were ready to go. The guys were dialed in, and you know, I thought they did a fantastic job of preparing to play, and that got us off to a good start. And Cliff in the right spot, and then. You know, obviously we get the power play to go with it.
Not a hard shot at all by Cliff Watson. Alex Patan gets the only assist. I thought it was great that Alex just put that puck on net and created some commotion by that rebound given.
Well, he did. And Alex was really, this is the best game I've seen him play. I mean, he was really on his game. And, you know, he had that energy and the jump to his game you could see. But we made some lineup changes. We put Malcolm Gould on the left side with Mike Neville and Alex Patan. And I thought that was a good change. And I thought that line played well. But we got off to a great start. That's a big goal, you know, heading into a big weekend.
And we had so many other opportunities to score in that first 5-6 minutes, and it was really kind of a bummer that we didn't get more than one.
Well, we did, and that's the negative, I guess, if you look for anything on the negative side. We had a number of opportunities to, I don't want to say put them away, because there's still a lot of time left in the hockey game, but just to pad that lead and add on to that lead, you know, before we got into penalty troubles, and I'm sure we'll have some questions later about our penalties, but you know, it's something that we have to address as a team, because you know, it's starting to affect, you know, the overall team's game, and we can't let that slip into our game like we are. And I, you know, and we don't play an overly physical game. You know, we're not, I wouldn't say a dirty team, but we're starting to take too many penalties.
Well, yeah, we did. We took the too many men on the ice, which I, in my eyes, was a little bit questionable. Chris Leibinger and Malcolm Gould both take other penalties in the first period there, and you know, Malcolm Gould's was the one I was able to see pretty easily, where he just tugged there.
And, you know, and the first one, though, the first one is we get too many men on the ice, and when we play that back, Dirk, there's you know, it was what I call a phantom call. There was you know, it was a real bad call, and I mean, there's puck wasn't even over by the bench. There's no bad change. We didn't have six guys on the ice. It was, and that was the first one they call against us.
Right.
You know, to sort of stem you know, our momentum. And but yeah, Chris was you know, that's a good call. And Malcolm, you know, he does take his hand off a stick, and he's you know, in a race for a loose puck, and he sort of reaches around and just tries to position himself, doesn't really hold him, he just sort of puts his arm out in front of him. And you know, but you're gonna call that in that situation, because there was a change of possession on the puck, and the referee's right there. So I you know, I can't fault him on that call.
So the Huskies are still up 1-0 after the first period. 12-7 are the shots. We go to the second period. Some more penalties
yeah, and,
here.
And Dirk, that you have to remember, they had the three power plays in a row.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, to the one point, I think the shots might have been 8-9, even 10.
8-0 was with the start of the
start of the game. That's how good we started until we took that penalty, and that's why we have to make sure we maintain and stay on the ice. But they got most of their shots. We took those three penalties right in a row.
Penalty kill was great from Friday night.
Well, they're fantastic. I mean, you know, you could point to key plays in the game or key stats. We won the special team battles, obviously, on Friday, which you need to do, but their penalty killing was rock solid. It all starts again with Jamie, but having said that, we blocked a number of shots in this game, did a real good job of staying in passing and shooting lanes, and, you know, and consequently, you know, we obviously shut them out on their power play.
Had only one power play opportunity in the second period. Delgadillo went off for a high sticking call. We did not score on that. We go to the third period after outshooting them 14-9 in the second period. We're still up by one, and you're just waiting, hoping that they don't get that equalizing goal. And Shane Hanna at the 6:18 mark gets a hooking call and then a 10-minute misconduct. So we're missing him for 2 minutes. Plus another 8 minutes because of the call, and again the penalty killers did the job.
Yeah, they did. They were outstanding, and anytime you take, you know, penalty like that in a situation, and we always talk about the, you know, key moments in the game when you have a power play or a penalty kill that are critical, and this was one. You know, it's a one goal hockey game. You take a penalty in the third period, you have to kill it, because, you know, the only thing that really gives the other team momentum is a goal. And, you know, if you're in a 1-0 game and they score on that power play, now it's 1-1, and they have the momentum, they have that energy or that spark. So I thought it was huge that we killed that off. And you know, we got to be careful of what we say. And you know, and Shane's not a guy who says a whole lot. You know, you can hardly get two words out of him, and you know Shane. And you know, I'm really surprised that the ref teed him up so quick on that. And I asked Shane after, and he really didn't say much to him, you know. And last year, Shane had 7.